Again, our topic for consideration is the servant. I'd like for us to deal with some qualities that must be present in the life of a servant. There are many, many passages in the Scripture that deal with these various qualities, and I would like for us to look at several of these passages and to examine some of the qualities that are to be in the life of a servant. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn with me to Colossians, to the 3rd chapter, verses 22 and verses 23. Colossians 3, verse 22 and 23. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." Now there are several things that I would like for us to observe. First of all, he says, obey, servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. It is important that we not only serve, but that we are to be obedient servants. Now, secondly, he says that not only must we be obedient, but with singleness of heart. We are to do whatever we do as unto the Lord. Now, oftentimes, we do things not as unto the Lord, but we do them that we might win the praise of men. Now, it is not wrong for us to look for rewards. As we mentioned in the first half of this tape, God will reward us for giving ourselves to others, just as he highly exalted Jesus for giving himself as a servant to the world. However, the Scriptures are very clear that we must look to God not upon the horizontal relationships for our reward, but we must look to God in the vertical aspect, that God himself is going to reward us for the things we do. In fact, he tells us in the life of the Lord Jesus over in Hebrews 12, verse 2, and he says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." Jesus kept his eyes upon God for his reward and not upon man for approval. The danger comes again whenever we seek on the horizontal level our reward from men, and God says we're not to do that, but that he will reward us, and that reward comes as a result of our vertical relationship. And this is important that we keep this in mind, because oftentimes we are disappointed when we don't get rewards from people that we are involved in serving. Now, the third point that we need to look at in this passage is that we are to do it heartily. Oftentimes we are given jobs which we do with half of our heart, but the Bible says that we are to do them heartily as unto the Lord. This means to do it with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength and all of the power that God gives us. So we must obey. We must not be men pleasers, but God pleasers, and we are to serve heartily as unto the Lord. Now, another passage that I would like for us to look at is found over in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. And it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Are you a faithful steward? When somebody gives you a job to do, can they cross it off their list because they know that you are a faithful servant? Here in Singapore, I have a lot of people that I assign tasks to. Now, there are some of these people that I simply cross it off or mark it off the list because I know that if I give them a job to do, that they simply will not let me down. They are faithful and dependable. I can count on them. Then there are other people that I can give a task, but I know that I dare not cross it off. Because if I do, somehow that job will not get done. And so I simply don't cross it off, but I find myself going back two or three times. Sometimes they wait hoping that I'll have forgotten that I asked them to do the task. Are you a faithful servant? Another passage we need to consider is over in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. And the Apostle Paul says here, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And here we come to the issue of whether I am willing to serve all men or only some. The Apostle Paul made it very clear. He said, "I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." A moment ago, I pointed out the illustration of how that Jay asked for volunteers to do a job. And people were not willing to do that. But Jay told me, he said, "I wonder if I would have asked if somebody was available to go to the airport to pick up Lauren Sanney, who is the president of the Navigators." He said, "There isn't a soul that would not have made themselves available. They were willing to do some jobs, but they were not willing to do other jobs. They were willing to serve certain groups, but other groups they're not willing to serve." Oftentimes, many of us who are associated with the Navigators are very willing to do things for the Navigators. But I think that we also have to think about our service, not only to the Navigators, but to others. Suppose whenever your parents, your mother or father, ask you to do something, what kind of a servant are you then? Are you an obedient servant? Do you do it heartily? Are you faithful that once you have been asked to do it, can your parents check it off because they know that you will do it? Are you willing to be a servant to all men? Now, some of you may say, "Well, doesn't the Bible say that no man can serve two masters? For either he will love the one and hate the other." And I want to make it very clear that when I talk about being a servant to all men, that we have one master, and our master is Jesus Christ. But Paul was willing to serve other men because his master, Jesus Christ, had commanded and had committed him to a service to all men. Now, another passage I'd like for us to look at is found over in Psalms 123. And the quality that we find here is of the servant who is both alert and available. Now, in Psalms 123, verse 2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he hath mercy upon us." Now, do you get the picture here that these servants are trained to continually watch the hand of their master? Now, in the old days, a man did not have to yell or scream or look all over trying to find his servants. But the servant was trained to stand in a place where everyone could not see him. And yet he was trained to watch the hand of his master. And when his master moved his hand in a certain way, then that servant would immediately come. They were trained to be alert and to be available. They could stand there for hours on end and never be called. But the moment that he moved his hand in a certain way, they were both alert and available. Oftentimes, as I've traveled, I'll go into a restaurant and I'll no sooner sit down and immediately the waitress is there. She has a glass of water and she sets it down in front of me. She stands there and waits faithfully while I read the menu until I have placed my order, and then she's gone. But I've noticed that oftentimes if I change my mind or I decide that I want something else, that I have to look all over to try and get the eye of some waiter or some waitress, and that I have to take my napkin and kind of wave it in the air, or I'm continually turning around trying to catch somebody's eye. And though it appeared when I first came that here is a very alert and a girl who wants to serve, yet the truth of the fact is that perhaps she really wasn't as good a waitress or a servant as I thought she would be. I remember when I lived in San Antonio, Texas. There is a restaurant there called the La Louisiane, and as far as I'm concerned, it probably is one of the finest restaurants that I have ever been in. And I'll tell you, in my day, I've been in a lot of restaurants. But when you go there, the moment that you walk into the place, the head waiter is right there, and they carry you off to where you're going to be seated. And there are two men who are assigned to every table. And those men stand in a place where they are not conspicuous. They are trained to watch you, and they are alert to your every need. And they have one man who does nothing but take your order. They have another man who does nothing but to go out and to get that order and to bring it and to serve it. And I'll tell you, you have never in your life ever gotten that kind of treatment before. And I've often thought, if somehow we could get the man who trains the waiters for that place to come and train some of our navigators in how to serve, that the navigators would be a long way down the road. Well, another quality of a servant is found over in Job chapter 7 and verse 2. And it is related also to being alert and available. Some people, when they serve, make a great to-do about the fact that they are going to serve you. They want everybody to notice what a good servant they are. In Job, it says that the servant earnestly desires the shadow, that there is a man who is humble, a man who is not trying to win the praise because he is serving, but there is a certain humility, and this is very important in the life of any servant. We find this is certainly true of John the Baptist. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 3 and to verse 30. Here, John the Baptist was the man who was the forerunner of Christ. And if we back up and take a look at the passage, beginning with verse 25, it says, "And there rose a certain question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee behind the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bridegroom, the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And this is the responsibility or a quality of any man who serves, that he does not distract from his master, but he himself rejoices when Christ is lifted up and exalted. The Apostle Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 4, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So this quality in the life of a servant is humility, that we are not preaching ourselves, or we are not going about serving, trying to lift up ourselves, but we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sakes. Now, closely related to this quality of humility is an illustration of a servant found over in Luke chapter 17 and verse 7, where he says, and if you have your Bibles, let's turn to this particular passage. He says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the thing which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Whenever you're assigned a task, do you expect somebody to come along and to pat you on the back and tell you what a terrific job you've done? And if they happen to forget, or somehow they don't do that, are you put out with them? Because somehow down in your heart, you think that you deserve some reward from man. And I'll tell you, this is hard doctrine. After I have done what I have been commanded to do, rather than to say to our masters, I am an unprofitable servant, we want him to recognize that I'm a profitable servant and to pat me on the back and to reward me for what I've done. When you are assigned a task and you do it, you don't deserve any praise at all, because you have only done what you have been asked to do, or that which is assigned to you, and that somehow down in your heart you must recognize that you are an unprofitable servant. And if somehow they do not recognize that or pat you on the back, that you cannot be bent out of shape with them because of this. But this doctrine of being an unprofitable servant. When you are assigned a task, you are only doing your duty. And that is not being a servant. But when you've not been assigned some task, and you decide to go ahead and to do it because you see a job that needs to be done, then you become a servant. The last quality that I'd like for us to look at in the life of a servant is found over in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to this particular passage. He says here, "As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Joshua command, so did Moses command Joshua. So did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." The quality that we see here is dependability. Now, Joshua was a man who could finish the task that had been assigned to him. When you're assigned a task, when you're given the privilege of serving, what kind of a job do you do? Does someone have to come along after you've finished and take up where you have left off and finish the task? I have men who live with me in my home, and when they finish the job, oftentimes my wife has to come along and to finish the task because they have not done all that was commanded of them, and they certainly have not done it with all of their heart and with all of their soul and with all of the strength that God gives them. What kind of a finisher are you? Let me ask you this. Deep down in your heart, do you really want to be a servant? Is this something that you really desire for your life? Or is somehow being a servant, is something that I really do not enjoy? Do you really long and desire to be one? Do you find that you are both a faithful servant, that you're one who is alert, that you're one who is available? Let me ask you another question. Suppose somehow we could call together all of your friends, your family, and we were to explain to them what we mean about being a servant. And we were to ask them, well, now, do you know anybody like that? And I wonder if they would stop and kind of scratch their head and think a while and say, no, I don't really know anyone like that. What would your family, what would your friends, how would they describe you as being a servant? Let me ask you another question. What kind of a servant are you? Are you one that is known to be faithful? When somebody gives you a task, can they check that task off because they know that somehow you will get the thing finished because you are both faithful and you are dependable? Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." This is the longing and the desire of God's heart, that you have this servant quality in your life. And if it becomes a part of your life, then it will be the thing that God, in the days to come, will be able to use you in a place of leadership, because being a servant is a prerequisite to being a spiritual leader in the kingdom of God. Not only must we understand the importance, but we must also understand the various qualities that must be in the life of a servant, and somehow we must make them a reality in our hearts and lives. And if somehow you don't know how to do that, then you need to get with your spiritual leaders and ask them to help you to make this a part of your life.